ball spark.
You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Friday morning out there, Western and Northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. KSIW up in Woodward, KADS down here in Elk City. What a glorious day it is outside. You might notice a little extra pep in my voice. This is honestly one of my favorite weekends of the entire year.
This weekend.
Shout out to anybody and everybody out on the golf course right now out at Elk City Golf and Country Club playing in the 51st annual Oil and Gas Appreciation Golf Tournament put on by the Chamber of Commerce. Be out there later on this afternoon. Try not to hurt anybody. And probably enjoying the festivities.
That's my line.
Throughout the day.
Try not to hurt anybody? Come on.
Listen, you just never know. It's going to be a great day. So hello to everybody out there. Hope you're doing good, but maybe not good enough to beat us later on. How about that?
9:03, and you're already injecting the trash talk.
I'm not trash talking. I'm just simply saying don't.
Who's us? Who do you got with? Can you say?
It'd be me and Ricky Don and Special K, Chad Kissling, who might be listening for the first time ever on his way down from Alva. And then also Taylor Cameron. We've got a good team. There's a bunch of good teams.
He can't hear us in Alva?
I don't know. He's further than Alva. Alva's just an easy spot to say.
Can you say this? I might know the town.
Burlington.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So it's further than Alva.
Yeah, it's a little further.
North and east of Alva.
It might be a little outside the Woodward listening area.
So he's headed down. Anyhow, it's going to be a fun weekend, no doubt about it. So hello to everybody out there. You know why it's also...
So this is your Christmas weekend. This is
your
fun
this weekend. Always have.
Mine's Labor Day weekend.
Always have loved this weekend. And it takes on even greater importance in as far as the summer golf tournaments, because one of the other ones that's a lot of fun, we can't play in. Ours.
Oh, right.
So that one's not near as much fun as it used to be.
Good point.
Although last year on Friday night it was fun.
Yeah, I could tell Saturday morning.
But anyhow.
We're supposed to be there at 6. You got there by
about 9 or so.
9:30-ish.
A little bit late. Was that the boss's house?
I was in
the doghouse. Was that the boss's house?
First words out of your mouth. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Probably sounded like that too. A little bit deeper than normal. Oh, I'm so sorry. There's a chance it might sound like that in the morning too.
That's a good weekend.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
This is a good weekend. Like I say, Labor Day is my weekend around here. I like Labor Day.
With the rodeo.
Well, we kick off football.
Yeah.
College and high school, we have the rodeo. It's a big event in these parts, and I always enjoy it. And oh, by the way, we get Monday off.
It's very true.
Yeah, so I always enjoy that week.
You know why else it's a great day?
What today?
Yeah.
Why? Because LeBron got eliminated.
That's exactly right. We are getting by the day, getting closer to not have to talk about or put up with LeBron James.
Yes.
Did you see what he said afterwards?
No, I saw he just walked off again and didn't shake hands because he's such a class act.
Nah.
Classless act.
That's whatever.
What do you say?
He's not worried. He's not going to be concerned with the Olympics because there's too much Space Jam 2 on his plate.
Yeah.
Do you think he's already in China?
Promoting Space Jam 2.
His pal Xi Jinping.
Yeah. Emperor LeBron.
Has he already gotten there? We'll talk about LeBron.
He probably has like a bat phone in his house.
Oh, yeah.
A direct line.
It's got like the Chinese flag on it.
It's red. It's definitely red. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
So Phoenix and Denver move on. We'll talk about LeBron, where they go from here. I've got an interesting question, and I'm going to throw it out right now because it'll give everybody a chance to try to answer this question. So with the elimination of the Lakers last night and everybody else that's still alive, of the teams that are still in the NBA playoffs, who and when is the last one to win a title?
Of all the teams that are remaining.
Of all the teams that are still in the playoffs, this is going to speak to the new blood that's there.
It's a good sign, I think. But
who and when was the last title team? Right. I think you can get the first one.
You're not going to hear me typing.
I think you can get the first one. Now, the next one, good luck.
Nope.
To remember who it is.
Who and when? Do I need to answer now? We're going to wait for.
We can wait for some texts.
Wait for some texts.
You can tell me.
A bunch of Googling happening right now.
Off the air, if you know it, that way you can claim you knew it before the listeners. How do they text us though, Jared? Here, I'll tell you. 225-9698. Phone or text line, 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We'll talk to you about anything. NBA, obviously the softball is top of mind for a bunch of people. What a shocker in that first game with Oklahoma falling to James Madison. Oklahoma State held up its end of the Bedlam bargain with a win over Georgia. We'll talk about those. Also, I want to finish up what we started yesterday at the end of the show with Paul Feinbaum comments about Texas. And kind of go through that. Where are they? Are they to the point of despair as Feinbaum? We'll replay that for those that didn't hear it. That way you can get an idea of the comments that Feinbaum made. Well, how are you this morning, Jared? Everybody knows how I am.
Oh, I'm good. It's Friday.
Friday, you got your little canoe t-shirt on, so yeah, that must mean we got some ball played tonight.
It's game day. Game day.
Which Absolutely. One? Oldest, is this the coach oldest, pitch?
It's the coach pitch.
Coach pitch is Friday.
AU, yeah. And we have two games tonight, 5:30 and 7:30. And
I believe
then,
you got – hey, wait.
Sorry.
I believe you play Phoenix Morris tonight, the Sarah Eagles.
That was last week.
That was last week.
Yeah, I didn't want to rub that in your face.
Thought you were trying to get me to come – who are you? No, you're playing the boss tonight. Is it the boss tonight?
Let me check the old
Seemed like
sketch.
You were trying to get me out there for a game
this
Friday.
It was last week
Friday.
I was trying to get – no, it was last Friday I was trying to get you out there.
Oh.
Because what? We were playing Sayre.
Oh, I mixed those dates up.
Okay. Well, you missed it. I'm going to bring up the schedule. We have Hobart tonight.
Okay.
And, well, there's two merit teams, I believe. We're playing a team called – well, is there one merit team?
It's your show, man.
We have merit. I think it is the boss's team. I think it is.
Uh-oh. Here's going to be the problem here. You're going to have to – the coaches are going to have to face Lady Boss. She's going to take the reins.
That's why I didn't coach. I'm not coaching. I'm just a fan.
All right.
No, and let me see how we did against – Sayre last
no, week. No. You don't need to tell us
it
that.
It was we don't?
You don't need to tell us okay. that. Everybody, listen, that's what – everybody knows Canute was good at baseball and softball. You don't have to reiterate that every time on the radio.
I just
– So that's what you
I'm
got,
proud, I'm a proud dad. I can't, absolutely. I can't –
but you not at the
proud
expense,
of their progression. I'm just really proud
Not at
how,
the expense of my little niece.
How good
I'm not
they
gonna, I'm not going to stand for it. I'll have to answer those questions here in about – 3 hours.
It looks like
Bubba.
We're...
Why did you let that mean man from Canute make fun of ours? Make
I
fun of our
not.
Softball team.
I
didn't let him. Phoenix.
I would never.
He was wanting to, but I didn't let.
I
him.
I would never. I root for. I don't root against. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I root for teams. I don't root against a team.
I'm sorry, little Phoenix. I know the ball's bigger than your hand, and it's hard.
I will
throw.
Say, Sayre had some size. I think there's potential there. They had some. They
Phoenix
had some
is the
size.
Little bitty one. But what she lacks in size, she makes up for in hustle and spunk.
Well, that's good. That's
and
what you
smarts.
Want. I tell my kids every three
and
things.
Cuteness.
I only have three rules when they play sports. It's hustle, listen to your coach, and have fun.
You know, listen to your coach is one that when Wyatt started playing, I was totally because you know what drives me nuts as when we do what we do. By the way, Dakota is the winner. He got the answer correct of that NBA question. The last team, the team that's still in the NBA playoffs to win the title last is the Dallas Mavericks.
That should have been obvious.
2011. Now, see if you can get the one before.
Sixers.
When?
In the 80s.
1983. That is correct. Way to go, Jared. You get half a point. Dakota gets half a point.
I only knew that because you're always told in 83, this happened. That was the year you were born.
That was the faux Sixers when they – I think they still may – them and one of those Laker teams with Shaq and Kobe, I think, hold the record for best playoff record getting a title. I think they were both 15-1 or something like that back when the first-round series was just five instead of six,
right.
Or instead of a seven-game series.
Yeah, the Mavs, that was an easy question. It sounded harder than it was.
The problem is you forget – that the Mavs won because they weren't a super team.
No.
They kind of get lost in the shuffle of the Heat.
They were
LeBron back and forth from the Cavs with the Golden State stuff.
They were Dirk and what's his name? Barrera?
J.J. Barrera.
Barrera. That guy was
Jason Kidd.
Kidd was on that team. What about
Peja Stojakovic?
The guy, he's straight up homeless now or was.
Delonte West?
Yes. Wasn't he on that squad?
He may have been, or he may have been it right after. They had the kid that came out, Deshaun Stevenson, that looked like a bust and turned out to be decent for them.
Yeah.
Really what they had was Dirk.
Yeah. Oh, Dirk just caught fire.
Remember game one against the Thunder in that Western Conference Finals when the Thunder shocked everybody to get there?
I remember the series.
I think he had like 46 and missed one shot all night.
Yeah.
He got to shoot a ton of free throws.
That series.
Game four was the one everybody remembers here. Okay, see, Durant hits the three with like three and a half minutes left to go up 14. Dirk, they call timeout. Dirk just throws one up from three. And I guarantee you, if that misses, they foul and get their guys out. And it goes in, and all of a sudden the comeback is on, and Dallas ends up coming back and beating Oklahoma City down 14 with like 3 minutes to go. And then they did the same thing to the Heat in the finals.
I'll always remember in that particular series in 11 was the dunk that wasn't really a dunk. It was Durant. He just went up. I can't remember who he was dunking. I mean, it was a classic poster. And he threw it down.
Yeah.
It looked like a dunk, but his long reach, his fingertips never touched the rim. But it was incredible because he did it over a guy.
It's kind of like when
was that game? It was in OKC.
Had to be three or four then.
Yeah, I want to say three.
It's kind of like the one that Blake Griffin did on Perk. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Where he literally just slung it in.
Yeah.
Like he threw it in.
Yeah.
Over the top of him. Anyhow, great job. Great job there with the
good job,
with
Dakota.
With the trivia.
You were the first to Google it.
Man, I'm not going to go there. You never know. Dakota might have had it. Dakota might have been you know what?
It should have been obvious.
Here's
though,
the truth, though. A lot of people, before the Thunder got here, were Mavericks fans. A lot of people liked Dirk. Dirk was a likable guy. So maybe Dakota was a Mav. Maybe he still is.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad losing to Dirk and the Mavs in 11 as it was losing to the Heat and LeBron in 12. Because you're
the
right.
Spurs.
Dirk was just
nobody wanted to lose the Spurs either.
Nah. Dirk was a likable guy.
Yeah.
You just liked him.
Kind of wanted him to get one, you know?
Yeah. He didn't mind losing a guy like that.
And he did. Did at the time.
Yep.
But anyhow. All right, let's go back to the Texas conversation. So I played this audio yesterday from Paul Feinbaum.
Right.
And let's listen to it again, and then we can see what we think about his comments and where we stand with where the program is down in Austin.
Let's talk about the expectations. We all understand they are Texas-sized. Are they realistic?
They are not. Texas is no big deal other than to Texas fans. This is not a relevant program anymore, Greeny. And go back to 2013 when Texas people fired Mack Brown. He didn't resign. He was shown the door. The same Mack Brown who now has North Carolina in the top 10. Texas can't even win its own state anymore. Lost two of its best players to Alabama. It's pathetically behind Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M. It's way, way behind their biggest rival up in Norman, Oklahoma. Texas is fighting for third at best in its own league, and I don't really see a clear path. I think Sark is a very good coach, but let's be honest, Hembo could have coached that offense last year at Alabama.
Oh, my goodness. So let me ask you, Paul, is he the right guy to do it, though? They're waiting for someone to finally get them back where they want to be. Is Sark the right guy to do it?
I think he's as good as anyone else, but the problem isn't Sark. The problem are Texas people. Nick Saban told me one time when he was considering, after he turned down Texas, he didn't want to report to 15 or 20 billionaires every day. That's the way that program rolls. Saban took over at Alabama and said, I'm in charge here. Lincoln Riley has very few people that he has to answer to in Norman. That's the problem for Sark. Every other minute, somebody else is calling up and wanting a piece of him and that program. And until they clear that up, and they haven't yet, that program will be stuck in the mud.
All right, so a lot of things to unpack for me here. I don't disagree necessarily with this premise. I think outside of some Darryl Royal years and then there with Mac, you can make the argument that Texas is right there toward the top of the programs that have done the less with the most. If you want, because here's the thing about that program. It's always going to be put into the category with the top of the top because of what it is in that state and the resources that it has at its disposal. And there is some tradition there. There's no doubt about that. Probably a lot of people would be shocked at how little there is, if we're being honest, especially in the Big 12 era. With the lack of conference titles, you know, that they are the one that, you know, the Big 12 team that's won the national title the most recent. But having said all of that, what do you make of his comments? How much of that do you think is just kind of overblown a little bit? And how much of it do you think, okay, yeah, that's right. Because I think both of us, the second part of that, where he talked about too many cooks in the kitchen, too much influence from boosters and all that. I think both of us agree with every bit of that.
Absolutely.
And that's been a huge part of why Texas hasn't been able to achieve what really and truly what they think their birthright is to achieve. And then also with the amount of resources that program has at its disposal, I think we both agree with that. I'm more focused on the first of that. Where do you really think Texas is? Do you think they, as a program, really are fighting to be the third best one in the Big 12? Or is that just kind of a snapshot of where they are right this second?
I think that, first off, my reaction to Feinbaum's comments and why he was so passionate, it sounded like the way he commented like that, is because we as football fans, we want the Blue Bloods to be good, right? We want Michigan to be good. We want Miami to be good. And we want, like it or not, but we as OU fans want Texas to be good because it elevates OU in the conference itself. So I think that's why where Feinbaum was coming from, where we're getting sick and tired, we as fans, of being told every year Texas is a blue blood that will always compete for a national title, when the last better part of a decade that simply isn't true. And we think it should be because of everything you said, the resources. The state of Texas produces fantastic recruits and talent, and even when they get them on campus, they can't develop them. It's because of the meddling, and they can't find the right guy that can manage all of that. So I think that's where Feinbaum was coming from with the frustration. Now, is he right? Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, because he's showing. He was using basically, I mean, everything that we've seen. It wasn't hyperbole where it was, well, if this, whatever. I mean, they are more or less competing for the third or even fourth spot in the conference right now. And that's not traditional Texas. You know, we want them to be higher. Am I right? And they're losing out on some recruits. And even what boggles me is how many times have they pulled in a nice recruiting class and nothing to show for it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're always going to get.
I don't understand that part of it.
See, I don't think Feinbaum wants Texas to be good at all. I think he sees just the way he is, and we all know who he likes.
If Texas is good, it pulls away from the SEC.
Yes. I don't think there's any doubt why all of a sudden Paul Feinbaum. Now that A&M has gone to the SEC, which has definitely opened up the state of Texas more than it ever was, mm-hmm. for schools like Ohio State, and then the SEC schools with LSU, with Bama, everyone at all. That's why he's doing it.
Yeah.
Hey, kids, look how bad Texas is. Come to the SEC.
Could it be he feels maybe deep down, and this is a reach, deep down he feels, man, Sark is the right guy for that job. And if they get good again, they're going to start to be relevant in a state that SEC is starting to take over.
Yeah, 100%. That's his motivation to me. As far as, you know, it just, I honestly, I'm not 100% sure that Herman wasn't the guy. I mean, listen, they were way better under him than they were at the end of Mac or even at any point during Charlie Strong. And it just, it feels like that stuck in the mud comment, to me, that's more not picking a route and sticking with it and giving a guy a chance to put his imprint on that program. But that is also just the way it is now. You get three years. If you ain't doing it, you know.
You're gone.
But think what he did accomplish. I mean, he took Oklahoma right down to the wire, beat them in the regular season, and took them right down to the wire in a Big 12 title game. Something that they hadn't been to since Nebraska was in the league. 2009.
Yeah.
You know, was he as good as maybe people thought right off the bat? Maybe not, but I think they were a lot better than they had been. And it also felt like he had instilled a toughness for other games, not just in the Cotton Bowl every year like Charlie Strong would do. Mm-hmm. You know, now I understand that there was, you know, almost lost to Kansas and all that stuff, but it did feel like he had it going the right way. Now, does Sark continue that? Does he try to change things up? It's just a hard job. And I know that if you listen to this station, when they get to talking about this, Barry Switzer, Pat Jones, both will tell you it is the best job in the country because of those resources. But I think what they forget is how much hassle there is because of those resources. You know what I'm saying? Those things kind of go hand in hand there, which other places they don't. And so I think it's almost ludicrous to say they're fighting to be the third best program in the Big 12. That is so dumb. It hurts my head. But if he's talking about for this season, this team, but he used the word program instead of, you know, and that's what I'm like, oh, come on.
No, I can.
Come on. Well, they're clearly
I agree with you there.
They're clearly the second best program in the Big 12.
I think that was, he didn't mean, I think he's currently right now, and that is a fact. It's OU, Iowa State, and then who? I mean, OSU is in that conversation for the third spot, third best team.
Yeah, I mean, going into this year,
Texas.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that's where he was coming from.
I think
from.
It's Oklahoma,
but
Iowa State next, and then kind of draw a line after OU, draw a little line after Iowa State. And then, you lump, you know, TCU if they could ever have a quarterback, Texas, Oklahoma State, who can jump up there into that next
But
group.
Outside of them making that Big 12 championship game appearance, that's where they've seemed to be the last decade.
Sure.
The last latter parts of Mac Brown's tenure and beyond is they've kind of hovered around that 3-4 spot. And, you know, I think, and back to your Herman point, you're right. I think he needed more time. What did him in is a combination of making the championship game, but not winning. And then Iowa State's emergence and Matt Campbell. Because if they don't rise up and beat them last year, you see what I'm saying? Texas brass is thinking, okay, you got there. You came up just short. You ended the season nice in the Sugar Bowl. You declared you're back. Okay, go prove it. They didn't prove it. And you're right. It's what have you done for me lately era that we live in.
You mean this?
Horn Nation, we're back.
Turns out that wasn't right.
That wasn't very.
And on, you know, and that guy right there, as good as he was as a college quarterback, he has some skin in this game of them not being able to get over the hump. Because after what was that, his sophomore year when they played Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game, Sam Ehlinger never really got better. He was the same guy.
Oh yeah.
He was pretty much the same guy from his sophomore year to his senior year. He made a big leap from freshman to sophomore, quit throwing the dumb picks. And OSU fans remember that play down there in overtime or right at the end of the game. Yeah. He just threw it right to you know, the OSU defender. That would have been, in 2017. But he just never continued to progress. And for years now, golly, since Colt McCoy, the main problem down there has been they can't find the right answer, not just on the sideline, under center. They haven't been able to. Everyone else, think about the – hell, you can almost go to Kansas. Around that time, everybody in the league has had a better quarterback than Texas has. Todd Reesing was right there at that Colt McCoy time.
Right.
But since then – maybe not Kansas, but everybody else has.
Yeah.
Everybody else has had a better quarterback than Texas has had. And think, and you know, this became a really big deal back in the early part of the 2010 decade when you started having RG3 and Andrew Luck and all these guys having huge success, winning Heisman trophies, and then being great in the pros for whatever snapshot of time that was. And they were all from Texas, and none of them went there.
Mm.
And then it got to Baker, and it got to Kyler. You know, and not only did those guys win Heisman trophies at Oklahoma, they also went to other programs first in the state of Texas that weren't Texas.
That weren't Texas.
And so, you know, we'll see. Maybe an Oklahoma kid can go down there and be the right quarterback under the right coach at the right time. We'll see. But I think it's ridiculous for him to say that Texas is the – maybe he meant team. I don't think he did. I think he's just trying to slam them down as much as he can. Last question real quick, then we got to go talk about the softball. Would you seriously take – if you had the choice of jobs with the way they are right now, team, program, all of it, if the college football czar said, Jared, you get your choice. You want Texas – or you want Texas A&M? Which job do you take?
Oh, my goodness. Great question. Do I want to play in the mighty SEC or coach in the mighty SEC or University of Texas, but with unlimited resources, but probably about 20 people to answer to at least? That's a great question. I would lean a slight lean to A&M.
Oh, my Lord.
Very slight lean.
Oh, not me. Because as much as the big money guys at Texas may be a problem, what about the fake guys with swords and the cowmen and all that down at A&M? No, thank you.
Well, even
you
if
think I, Texas is listen, weird, go to A&M.
Listen, even if I coach at A&M and I don't win, we can still claim it.
That's true. That's true. Oh, it's a great conversation.
That is a good one.
That's a great point. You think about the differences in at least the Red River rivalry teams. You wonder if Texas is back, and the main gripe about anything going on in Sooner football is 11 a.m. kickoffs. That's a great point. Jared made online offline.
Yeah, I'm Texas meddlers are complaining about wins and
trying to win,
particularly losses, and OU. Big donors are probably just complaining about the 11 a.m. kickoffs, and that's it.
I'm with Billy on the Texas. I'd take Texas in a heartbeat, but I do think for all those reasons that we just talked about, eventually you're going to – I guess I'm going to have to quit saying that and change my mind because it's just not getting done there for some reason.
I also don't like having a ton of people nitpick. I mean, this is me personally. You know, if I'm hanging out with people and go, well, why do you do your job like this? Why do you do it like that? Why do you do it like that? I'm like, you know what? I don't throw rocks at you when you're mowing your lawn. So quit bugging me about my job. That would bug me if I go down to Texas and I have all these people who are, why didn't you call a halfback pass on right there? And, you know, just like, you know, don't worry about it.
But if you win,
thanks
you can tell them to shut up.
Thanks for your contribution to the program. And that's the thing, though.
If you win, you can tell them to shut up.
I mean, that's what that's what Lincoln can do.
But that has down there. I think Texas is set up better to win bigger than A&M. One, the conference. Two, the history. Three, it's Texas versus Texas A&M. I mean,
yeah.
Anyhow, let's move on to the softball. What in the world happened? Oklahoma shocked by James Madison yesterday, 4-3 in extra innings. You know, both teams hit three-run home runs in the third inning. And I think because of the way this season has gone, if you've paid any attention to OU softball, getting down 3-0 really wasn't that big a deal because of the hitting that had the hitting prowess, that offense that is a bunch of people consider the best ever. And then, of course, they come right back. Jennings hits the three-run home run just in the bottom half of the third, and you thought, okay, here it is. 9-3 coming up.
Yeah.
You know, 9-4, 11-4, whatever it is. And it just didn't happen. The middle of OU's order was awful. I think the 4 through 7 hitters were 0-13. And it just, you know, the pitcher Alexander was good. I mean, she was good. I don't know that she got the win and made one less mistake. I'm not 100% sure she was any better than Shannon Sale, if we're being honest. Their lines are very similar. Sale gave up, what, 3 hits versus 6 or 7 that Oklahoma got. The 2 errors were huge in that third inning to allow it to be a third – or the 1 error, excuse me, was huge there in that third inning to allow it to be a 3-run home run. And so it was just one of those games where as it went on and it wasn't a drubbing, you could just see James Madison gaining the confidence, gaining, hey, we belong here. We can beat these guys on this day, and they did. And that's just the way that happened. I mean, you know, there are certain things that, you know, that play at first, you know, people are griping about when you stop it frame by frame. Before the home run in the third, she was clearly out, you know, by a cleat length.
Yeah.
But it's impossible. I mean, it's not impossible, but it's hard to see that real time. I mean, you know, there was a couple different things. And then, of course, there in the seventh, the line drive that Jennings hits to start the inning, it hits Alexander's leg, goes right to the second baseman. And all of a sudden, instead of 2 on and nobody out, you've got nobody on and 1 out. Because right. The next walk to Allo that you knew was coming, they weren't going to let her beat him.
No, they're going to. Pitch around her.
You're going to pitch around her without not letting her. So it was just one of those games where Oklahoma got outplayed and they weren't able to outslug their way. And honestly, I thought Sale was fine. She only gave up, you know, the Sooners has never scored less than 4 runs all year long. She gave up 4, well, 3 in you know, the 7-inning game.
Right.
Should have been enough to win, and it wasn't.
Yeah, I credit James Madison in it. I do credit James Madison's pitching a lot because she was putting the ball in places that is making the OU batters work just to make contact. I mean, painting corners, getting, you know, up in the strike zone, down the strike zone, all over the place, nothing in the meaty zone, you know what I mean? So I give her a lot of credit for that. It might have drawn out a little blueprint on how to stifle OU's offense. But, yeah, you got to show up. I mean, you can't – it's probably that's always on the back of your mind as a fan when you see, okay, we got the – number one seed, and we're going to get this team that snuck in, James Madison. It's always in the back of your mind like, man, I hope they don't play down to the competition. But I'm not discrediting what James Madison did by saying that, playing down. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. To the name, not the team.
Right. Yeah. I think they deserve to be there, and clearly it showed by beating OU, and OU's got to regroup because I was doing the math in my head. They got to play what? Just to get to the championship series, 6 games, and I mean they got to win 4 in 2 days, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, then they're there.
Then
they're there.
So they just have to win 4 games in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, if any team can do it, it's you'd think it'd be them, but it really shakes up the bracket now.
Yeah, it's pretty.
You know, now there's teams like everybody in that stadium who wasn't wearing crimson and cream is rooting for James Madison. Or even if they weren't in the stadium, like, oh, man, we can beat, you know, if we could get the number one seed a loss, everyone else has a chance here. Now, all of a sudden, if you're losing a game or if you look at the bracket and you think, like, especially like your Georgia, like, dang it. Now, James Madison maybe just stuck a stick in the Hornet's nest and we got to go play them now. They're fighting for their lives. And last time we made them mad, they drubbed us the very next game. So, it really shakes up the bracket. And in a weird way, it makes it a lot more interesting. It's not like the the top seeds where we expected to win. You know, that's why you play the games. That's why you play bracket play is fun. Double elimination is fun. So it's going to be interesting. The big question is, can they do it?
Yeah, where do you put it? Let's, before we get there, I've got that question.
Oh,
in
I'm
here.
Sorry.
Where do you put just as far as shocking losses?
In all sports or?
Yeah, in all sports.
Whew.
The problem with it being very high on this list.
Fiesta Bowl kind of is up there.
I mean, well, that's what I was after losing to Pepperdine in golf and James Madison in softball. I was wondering if Boise had a soccer game somewhere to play against OU. The problem with this, it's not over.
That's the thing.
Every I heard him talking about, you know, Tyson getting knocked out by Buster. Well, that was it. You know, the hockey was it. Well, the problem was you still had to win the next one.
Right.
But beating Russia, you know, App State in Michigan in football. But it was over. Michigan didn't get another chance. Whereas this Oklahoma team does have another chance. I think it's pretty interesting that they get the day off. And I'm not 100% sure how that goes. A lot of times if you lose, you want to get right back out there.
Yeah.
And that's not us. Let's go. You have the whole day off before you'd have to win two Saturday, two Sunday, possibly. It would be against Oklahoma State. The possibility exists for that to be, because if OSU wins today, they stay in the bracket, and Oklahoma would have to beat Georgia. I've got that pulled up.
Yeah. By the way, there's a great app.
And then they would have to beat Georgia, and then they would have to beat the loser of Alabama, UCLA to get to OSU.
Right.
Because the games that are played today, it'll be Oklahoma State and James Madison at 6. At 8:30, it's Alabama, UCLA. So in the top side of the bracket to start, it was OU, James Madison, OSU, and Georgia. The loser of that James Madison-Oklahoma State game goes down to where Florida State, UCLA, Alabama, and Arizona were. The same thing happens for the loser of that Alabama-UCLA game. So somebody comes up into your bracket.
Yeah.
So the only chance anymore at a Bedlam final is Oklahoma State lose tonight, drop down into the other one, blow through that one, and OU blow through the top.
Back to the original question of where is this rank? As I don't think we know yet, because what if
take it again today or tomorrow?
Yeah, it'd be
nobody's going to care.
Right,
but
like,
if they win it all, nobody's going to care
OU
either.
Just ran out of gas and they got to the World Series. They used it all against
Washington. It's shocking. There's no doubt. It's shocking. Nobody had this.
What if OU goes and wins it all, and James Madison? They lose OSU, they lose the next game, and they're suddenly out. Like, man, what happened to OU in that first game?
Yeah, it becomes even more surprising.
Yeah, because,
for sure.
You know, but what if James Madison beats OSU today, you know, and they put themselves in good position? Like, everyone's going to go, well, no wonder they beat OU. They're pretty good.
You know, that's a great point. And OSU beat Georgia. Cheyenne Factor hit the two-run home run early. Georgia had a chance there at the end. It's amazing how often this happens in baseball or softball. But it's 2-1, bottom of the sixth. OSU adds that insurance run to make it 3-1, and it made the difference.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so amazing how often that happens. But Georgia pushed one across in the seventh, had runners on second and third and only one out when Eberle coaxed a pop-up in the infield that didn't allow the runner to tag, and then also a ground out to end the game. You know, in the NCAA tournament, basketball – we see this a bunch, where a team pulls off a shocking upset and then just gets hammered the next game. Like, they put all their eggs in the one basket, and then, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Very rarely do you see what Oral Roberts did. Pull off the huge upset and then do it again to get to a Sweet 16. That's why, there's all those stats out there with those, you know, those high seeds or low seeds, I guess. Never really, you know, they pull off the one, and then we remember the ones that make it the second time, you know, Florida Gulf Coast, Oral Roberts this year. The difference is in softball is that one player. And, you know, can Odyssey Alexander do it again?
Right.
I mean, there's no doubt she's pitching until her arm falls off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, quite frankly, they don't have the luxury to not pitch her. Because it's James Madison.
Right.
But I think if you're Oklahoma State, you are loving life. Do you? Or do you think that they were geared up so much to get a shot at OU that maybe they're thinking, oh, darn it.
You're going to get this team that's hot. And, it, you know, that question we asked yesterday, would you rather have good pitching or good hitting? Well, we know OSU can has
both.
Both. James Madison appears to have pretty good pitching.
Yeah, now, can they? They were eighth in the nation in home runs.
Madison?
So, yeah. So, I mean, they can do that for sure. And they had three hits and scored four runs off in two
it's
errors.
It's funny how it works for the underdog in tournaments, isn't it? Because the stuff you mentioned with Oral Roberts, Gulf Coast, you know, it maybe could apply here too. Now suddenly they have that belief factor.
And the pitcher. I think that's the difference in the
lot
in this
momentum.
And the basketball.
Nobody was shocked OSU beat Georgia. Everyone saw that, you know.
Well, listen, every result yesterday was what anyone and everyone thought, except for that first game. Alabama beat Arizona. UCLA beat Florida State. Oklahoma State beat Georgia. James Madison beat Oklahoma? Huh?
Yeah.
What? That's not what's supposed to happen.
Right. Yeah.
All right, so here it is. Will we see a Bedlam game, period, in this tournament?
Let's see. If OSU loses today, I'd say no.
Well, that's not the question, Jared. The question was, will we see a Bedlam game?
I say yes.
I think we'll see two.
You think they'll get to... What is that?
Sunday. I think we'll see two.
You think OU win the first one, firstly, if necessary.
Yeah, and then who knows after that?
And who knows?
Because I don't think there's any way that we can sit here and pile dirt on the Sooners.
Let's go back to my original statement.
I don't think you can.
Is if there's a team that can do everything we said, win four games in 2 days to get themselves in the championship series... I mean, you'd be throwing money at OU going, well, this is the team that can do it. I mean, they faltered once. You can't see them doing that again. If that's the team, then there's some other teams in history you would think could do it. Now, I didn't look this up. Did you look up now the stat of the last time? There's two other times the number one seed was lost in the first round.
Mm-hmm. I know one of them
How
was.
How did they fare?
Florida made it to the final series and got beat. They actually got beat by an unseeded team as well, Louisiana Lafayette, when that's what that was called. They showed that stat up there yesterday. That's
right.
The reason I know that.
Right.
And they said the other one.
Was it an Arizona team?
I can't remember. They said it. No, Florida State. It was Florida State, and they won it.
And Florida State came back and won it.
2 years ago. 3 years ago. 2018.
Okay. So I mean, it can be done.
I think that's right.
Because throw dirt on him
Florida
yet.
State didn't lose to an unseeded team where Florida did back in, I think it was 08. And then Florida, because, as a matter of fact, Patty Gasso referenced Florida State in her post game news conference talking about that team, and that's the example we just saw happen. Yep. So, I don't know. You know what I think is going to happen?
What's that?
You know what I think who is loving every second of this because all the spotlight, none of it's on them, even though where they're from? Kenny Gajewski. He's loving every bit of this because all that's talked about was James Madison beating Oklahoma. They don't have to have that spotlight on them yet.
Right.
And then today, it's all on James Madison because this is the team that knocked off Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Where Kenny can almost play the underdog card and put a little chip on their shoulder. Well,
yeah.
I mean, nobody thinks we're going to win after they just knocked off OU.
Right. Everyone's going to be talking about this purple team
That's
over here.
Right. They're
not talking about us, girls. They're only talking about them. They're the national darling right now. Carol Owens, for some reason, is tweeting them. I mean, come on. No one's tweeting us.
That's right. I think it sets up great for OSU.
Yep.
To be right there in the catbird seat, take tomorrow off, and wait for an opponent on Sunday.
Yep.
It's interesting. Hey, today's a big day, and I'll tell you why after the break.
Okay. Other than LeBron losing,
we'll talk about that too. That's real.
All right, Jared, what is today? What's in?
Well, you know, I woke up and I checked my email, and my first email is today you can apply for 2022 Masters tickets.
You are 4 days late, sir.
Well, what the heck, Masters? I just got the email this morning. Yeah, this morning at 5:05.
That, my friend, was June the 1st.
Those son of a guns. Well, June anyways.
The 1st. Already got her done.
Me too.
Already got her done. Now, should we make a pact?
If one of us
gets one of us gets tickets, the other one can go with them.
You have to fight my wife for that one. She said she'd go.
Oh, that's right.
I said she wouldn't.
That's right. Yeah, well, of course you'd go. Of course you'd go to the Masters if you had the chance, no matter if you liked golf or not. Especially if you got them at those cheap prices.
I know. Yeah.
Didn't that kind of excite you thinking, oh my gosh, if I win four of these practice round tickets, that's only $300 for four Masters tickets.
Crazy. Anyways, well, thanks for bursting my bubble.
Well, I wasn't going to tell you because I figured that helped me out in the drawing if you weren't in.
Well, then, no, you're not going with me then. Thanks for
Now that you're in, I think we need to go ahead and make that pack. By the way, we do have a first-time listener. He wants to talk about golf. He wants us to talk about golf.
Golf out there? Out the oil know. And gas? What? Or what? Just golf in general?
I'd rather talk about how well he played coming up on Monday. Get those little wedges spinning in there. Putts dropping.
Okay. Is your buddy driving down?
Yeah.
Okay.
How about LeBron? Let's hit a little bit of LeBron.
I love it.
How surprised are you with the way that he performed in Game 5 and 6 in a 2-2 series without Anthony Davis? I mean, Anthony Davis tried to play last night. He clearly couldn't.
Yeah.
And it almost felt like we were talking about that Mavericks team that won in 2011 just a little bit ago. It almost felt like the passive LeBron from that series. Now, it wasn't to that level where he literally wouldn't step inside the paint because he was so scared to death of something. But even last night, I mean, you look, he had 26 shots, 11 of 26, but a bunch of that happened after they were already down 30. I mean, you look up and the score is 47 to 19 and the guy has taken like four shots. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And maybe he already had the private jet set up to go to China and start promoting Space Jam 2, and he just didn't have any faith they could win without Anthony Davis. Or has Father Time finally caught up with LeBron James?
I think it's clear that he needs help.
He can't just take
it
over.
He can't do it like he could take over a game.
And you thought maybe he could do it one game. Like, okay, game five, maybe Anthony Davis is going to be able to play after. Maybe he could do it and just dominate. I mean, think back how many times we've seen that happen where his team is in a spot where they have to win the game and he drops off 45 and 18 rebounds and 12 assists or something.
Right.
He didn't look like he was anywhere near capable of doing that last night, much less being able to even just kind of will his team to a win.
Yeah, is it a mental thing or is it a physical thing?
I think he's physically. I think you know, he had the ankle. It may not be all the way back. And a 36-year-old LeBron can't deal with that the way the 28-year-old LeBron could.
Yeah. And I say the mental thing, when AD went down, did he just completely shut it down? Thinking, if he's – the big reason why we weren't successful before Anthony Davis got here is because we didn't have Anthony Davis. So I went and got Anthony Davis. Became successful, won a title. He goes down again. I remember how that was, and that he shut it down mentally and physically. Say, you know, I'm not going to exude all this energy.
He knew he couldn't do it.
Yeah, he knew that couldn't do it. Yeah.
You know, Father Time is undefeated. Are we sure? Are we 100% sure that's true? It has been forever.
Well, let's ask Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson.
That's what I was going to say. What about Tom Brady? And Phil, I mean, man, have you seen him on Twitter right now?
He's still enjoying it.
Oh,
he?
Dude, he is. He's been pretty funny.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, this story broke that Colin Montgomery was kind of whining about Phil and saying that he kind of slighted him all these years for not really knowing his name. So the question of this article was, did Phil really not know his name, or was he kind of needling him a little bit? And Phil responded to it and said, a little bit of both. And then there was this other one from just some random dude that put, it was something about a golf bag. I wonder if I'm a lefty. I wonder if Phil would send me a golf bag because he's my favorite golfer. And he replied to that guy and said, I'll tell you. Nope. He just, I mean, it's just great stuff. And you know, as much as I didn't like that, it sure is fun now, you know.
So, LeBron, is he, how many more seasons does he have?
There's no doubt that he has to have somebody. And great point by Sam on texting me. It's a little bit like D. Wade at the end had to have LeBron there to win it. He could do it early in his career in 06 against the Mavs. Once he got a little bit up there in age, he needed LeBron to help him. LeBron's in that stage where he has to have Anthony Davis or whoever to help him. Now,
does he go get somebody else? This
is the last question. Not counting LeBron. LeBron isn't in the over-under. How many current Lakers from last night's game will be on the roster next season? I have the over-under at 4. And I'm not guaranteed. The reason I didn't put Anthony Davis and LeBron is I don't know if you can guarantee that Anthony Davis is going to be there. Over-under of 4. Would you like a rundown of the roster?
Yes.
So you could go yes, no, yes, no. Marc Gasol.
No.
Dennis Schroeder.
No.
Caldwell Pope.
Yes.
Is it Markieff Morris?
No.
Jared Dudley.
No, this is all going off of, I have no idea how their contracts work.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't think it matters what their contracts are to GM LeBron.
No.
McKinney. Some guy named McKinney.
No.
Kyle Kuzma.
Can I say maybe? I'm at 5 right now.
Huh? No, I'm talking about, no, you're that at 1. You're at 1 that's going to be there.
That will be on.
Kuzma.
Who's this guy?
Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
Montrezl Harrell.
Yes.
Wesley Matthews.
No.
Alex Caruso.
No.
Talen Horton Tucker. I know he's a restricted free agent. I do know that because there's been talk about him going to OKC or wanting to sign him or whatever.
Then I'll say no.
Ben McLemore. He played a minute last night, just if you want to know.
No.
Andre Drummond didn't play.
No.
So that leads to here, a push or to say that it's going under, the last name I haven't said, Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis. Yeah, he's always year to year, isn't he? And that
will LeBron? No. Will LeBron want him on his team?
I say yes.
Okay, so you've got to push.
I say yes, but yeah, but I think my point is, I think LeBron goes and gets somebody.
Oh, I think they're going to get a whole bunch of people. I think it's going to be a whole new team.
This might be a whole different show, but I have a
maybe Anthony
wild
Davis.
Guess.
Maybe not.
Wild.
Go. Who?
It's going to be Dame time in LA.
Oh.
Dame can't win it in Portland, but he can win it with LeBron.
What about, here's one that ought to scare everybody. You know who else is an unrestricted free agent? Steph Curry. Oh. Everybody have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Wow.